The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
It's crazy how much less I'm afraid of an anxiety attack or a panic attack. They don't happen as much because I've learned to turn towards the pain instead of run from it, because anxiety became my fancy word for fear, and fear is like a backyard bully. If you avoid it, it grows. And so God is just going, I'm going to be with you.
After wrestling through a season of adversity, Rebecca Lyons learned how to start building a resilient life. Next on Life Today.
Well, we've got one of our favorite people on the air today. Of course, everybody we bring are favorite people. it's a joy. You're favorite people. We just don't get to see you. You probably said, oh, I'm so glad you can't. Well, I wish we could. I wish we were actually all sitting here in the family room. Rebecca Lyons is with us, and she's got a book called Building a Resilient Life. And I want to just tell you, Betty, I've watched her build a resilient life and help all of us build a resilient life. And she never dreamed that she was going to be writing and communicating, but here she is. Rebecca, how are you doing?
I am great, especially now that I get to talk to you guys. It's just going to make my whole week.
Yeah, I want you to tell our viewers, if they don't know, you had a kind of a stunning interruption, you might say, in a pregnancy, and then you made some decisions. Tell us how special Down syndrome is to you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it's all I know as a mother, right? My firstborn, 22 years ago, Cade Christian Lyons entered the world, and 6 hours later, the doctor said, we see signs of Down syndrome in your baby. And quite frankly, I felt like a baby having a baby and definitely didn't know anything about motherhood, much less special needs. But I entered into a season of just desperation for God and community, and found a whole tribe of other women like me who were just navigating this world. And honestly, I wouldn't trade anything. Years later, we wound up having the gift of choosing Down syndrome this time around, and we wound up adopting a little girl named Joy, who is every bit her name. She's like a joy bomb that's exploded in our home. And so she and Cade are our Down syndrome bookends. So Cade is 22. He is like ready to start the workforce, and she is 9, and she's in third grade, and she was just in Shrek Jr. the musical, and we are feeling all the seasons as parents, and she keeps life very exciting.
You know, when I've looked at Down syndrome, and I could very easily have said this to you when you were here with us, there is a sweetness, there is something, an innocence and a sweetness that I see in them that I find, this is really the truth, from the time I've observed them, I've prayed, God, there's something there I want on me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you recognize what I'm talking about?
Yes. Their EQ is very high. So they're very emotionally intelligent, attached. And Cade and Joy both are the barometer of our home. So if they sense conflict or tension, they absorb it internally. They might not even have all the language for it, the words, but you can just tell that they're getting a read on how things really are. And honestly, they're coming to the heart. They definitely are able to pierce the heart in ways that logic and reason doesn't always do. They're just this, there's an intuition and a knowing with them that is, you know, they also embody, you know, so much of what the rest of us feel, but they don't have the filter. So when COVID hit, Cade was, you know, in a spiral, but honestly, what he was experiencing is what we were all experiencing. Mm-hmm. He just didn't have the filter to pretend. And so I think I'm so thankful that they really are, they are very much come as you are. We are who we are. We love you as you are. And as long as you're giving out hugs and there's a dance party nearby, they are 100% in.
Betty, you say, you know, we know these are special children, but special parents too.
It really does. It takes children. Someone that really has to have the a bunch of love and care and patience and understanding. And there had to be difficult days too, wouldn't you say, though?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we have difficult days with our own kids.
Yeah, you mean like yesterday?
Yeah, no.
I mean, honestly, I love that you say that you are so patient and caring. And, you know, I think there are moments for sure that the Lord just continues to give me his view of my kids and his unconditional love, but also the Lord's shown me my frailty and my vulnerability and how I fall short. And that has only made me more dependent on God, because I know that God's not confused about Kate and Joy being in our family, that He ordered this from the beginning, that all our days were written and planned before one of them began in Psalm 139. So I know there's something about the two of them that keep me broken and whole at the same time. And there's a beauty of feeling that vulnerability as parents. So I depend so desperately on God, but also there's this resilience that it's created in me, and it's a resilience it's created in Gabe and also Pierce and Kennedy, their siblings, to just kind of have always know life that's just about the other person, someone who's in need. And I'm so grateful for that lesson. I just wouldn't trade it for anything.
You know, you've got the book, and I hope my staff will get a real good close-up of this. It's titled Building a Resilient Life. And that's not because of the resilience necessary to parent effectively, perhaps some children with some challenges. But you talk about how adversity, this is a subheading, awakens strength, hope, and meaning. I know this is big, or you wouldn't have taken the time to write the book. Now, with the pandemic we've just been through, with all hell seeming to break loose all around us, and knowing if we don't make a course correction in our nation to say all hell breaks loose, you ain't seen nothing yet if we don't make course correction. So I hear right. you saying we need to learn something through this shaping of the clay and let the master's hand shape us with all of the pressures and problems, building resilience. How did this rise up in you to focus on building a resilient life when there is so much need for not only the ability to resist, but to be resilient in spite of all hell seeming to break loose in every direction? How did this come to get on your heart so heavy?
Yeah, so about 4 weeks into quarantine, so lockdown, I was, you know, at home like everyone else, and I was supposed to be on a mental health summit for Next Gen, for Gen Z, anyone 22 and younger. And so I remember saying that day, like, we really need to build resilience in kids, because this generation has ever not really known real acute adversity in their face, not like centuries past. And so I was feeling so full of myself and being like, our kids really need to learn how to be resilient. And I remember going on a bike ride and just hearing this idea that adversity awakens the human heart, that there was an awakening coming, that adversity is a good thing. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So all of a sudden I thought, okay, if adversity is what awakens something in us, what does it awaken? It awakens what we're capable of, and it awakens what's worth fighting for. And it kind of gave me this resolve as a mama bear, because simultaneously, our oldest son, Cade, was really struggling and he was spiraling. In fact, he didn't have words for what everybody else was experiencing, but he's very much needs to be around people, and he needs structure, and he needs to be in the room where it happened, not just on a screen, because so much of him is nonverbal. And he flatlined and started to kind of bang his head against walls and doors and just self, almost like the unrest in came out physically. And I realized I wasn't resilient as his mom. I was struggling because he was struggling. And so it became this thing like in our home that I know was happening on a global scale in different ways. And this was the first war that we had actually like lowered in mental health, like this first crisis. In other wars, like I studied other world wars, like mental health would rise because we had a sense of agency and purpose and a shared enemy and a common goal. But this was different. We were sent home in our rooms to wait. And we're not people who created by God to sit idle while the world is falling apart. God always, even in the garden, said, take dominion, you know, be fruitful, multiply. Like there's a cultivation, there's a biblical mandate of doing and acting and being with God for the renewal of creation. And so we're just kind of waiting and we're pausing. And not only that, we're in isolation. We're sedentary. So historically, for centuries, people have healed through tethered to community, tethered to regulatory rhythms of movement, tethered to a faith where they can gather, and then tethered to medicine or whatever natural things that might help them. But we turned it upside down and we lost the most crucial things to healing from trauma in this season of this global pandemic. And so year one happens, year two happens. And when you're in survival, you brace yourself and the adrenaline flows. But when the moment passes, which is where we are right now in 2023, it just lets down and you just begin to cry. And honestly, I think there's a corporate global groaning right now of what we just endured. And we're just now trying to put our heads around it and to call it what it was on the other side of it. And we're finding that we're languishing now more than ever.
Okay, when you wrote the book Resilient, I want you to speak to the people who are listening right now who need to become more resilient. So I want you just to take us through steps that you think would be helpful where you're able to go in thoroughly in the book, which I hope everyone will get. Matter of fact, we'll say to all of you watching, if you will simply help us give a cup of water in Jesus' name, we will send you the book because we want to bless you. That's why we're here. The number one thing we do, Betty, is call people into the family room to get to know the Father and to hear His heart, to know His love, experience it, express it, and also the healing power and the comfort and the peace that only He can give. So, Rebecca, tell us what you long for people who are watching right now who really need a word from God. And you would say that to them, that you would say more thoroughly in the book, which I'm praying they'll get. But what would you want our viewers to hear that you think is important to them right now in light of the times and the pressure that we feel?
Well, I went back to scripture and a verse and a passage that I had relied on so much in my own suffering and trial and hardship. And it's, the whole book is based on 2 Corinthians 4. And essentially, the key verses in that is verse 8. It says, we are pressed and we are crushed, but we are not destroyed. We are perplexed, but we're not given to despair. And then you jump forward, it says, why? Because we carry light shining in our hearts. And that is why we never give up. There's this household of faith that goes, like, Jesus doesn't promise that everything will be easy, but He promises us that He will be our the love that never fails, that He will be with us in our pain. And so I really unpack is what is resilience really? And part of it is this idea of understanding that there is going to be adversity often without an end date, but Jesus will be with us. And so God told me that about 18 months into my time with Cade, I just said, are you going to lift this? And instead I heard in my spirit, the Holy Spirit just prompted me, not yet, but I'll be here for as many wailing walks as you need. And man, that wasn't the answer I wanted. I wanted Him to just be done. Let's move on. Let's go forward. And yet I knew there was something for God that God had for me to learn in that season. And so for those who are struggling, I just went back to neuroscience. I went back to the scriptures. What does a holy resilience look like? And so I define it in the book. And it's basically this idea that there's a consecrated act let me find it for you. It's right here. It's our daily consecrated act of remembering there is something far greater than our present troubles, which offers us the power to endure and emerge. In adversity, what is the something greater? In the Gospel of John, the beloved apostle captures the promise of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So Christ is basically saying, I've gone before you. I was the bruised reed in the garden. I bent low. I was compressed. I took death so that there would be victory for you. And so there's the promise there. And so the five rules of resilience really coming out of this book and this chapter of scripture is, it's very simply put, name the pain, shift the narrative, embrace adversity, make meaning, and endure together. Every single one of those rules is biblically grounded, you know, engaging in a rhythm of confession, inviting others in, knowing the truth that sets free and shifting the narrative. Like once we've gotten what we're thinking and internalizing and isolation out, the Lord's going, I want to do something with that. I want to retrain your brain and renew your mind. Embracing adversity is interesting because basically it grows us in such a way that we're not as threatened or intimidated by anxiety or depression. All of a sudden, we're going, okay, Jesus, if the peace you give, the world cannot give, then I'm going to reject and renounce a spirit of fear that's coming over me right now. And instead, I'm going to receive, Jesus, your covering of peace. You are my peace. You are the Prince of Peace. And so I'm going to stay very much abiding in you with my eyes locked on you, of fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who's fully physically experiencing a panic attack right now, knowing that you are going to let this just roll through my body and then we're all as well. Like, it's crazy how much less I'm afraid of an anxiety attack or a panic attack. They don't happen as much because I've learned to turn towards the pain instead of run from it, because anxiety became my fancy word for fear. And fear is like a backyard bully. If you avoid it, it grows. Yeah. And so God is just going, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. There will be moments that you just don't see coming, but I'm going to carry you in those moments. And good grief, it has grown my dependence on God, my trust in him, and my confidence that he's going, I'm going to awaken something in you. I'm going to give you a story of healing that you can't shut up about. And it's going to encourage other people too, when they're feeling afraid of their own anxiety. Nobody asks to be anxiety girl or special needs mom, but pain always becomes purpose if you let it. And so God is just doing that in me slowly and reluctantly as I age. And I'm just so grateful.
You know, God has encouraged us to be led of the Spirit. And I know you're Spirit-led, and I want to be Spirit-led, and I believe I am. Interestingly, this is what I was doing. Right when you just started this little burst, I had just picked your book up, and I said, the moment we come back, when she finishes this point, I'm going to read the five steps, the rules. And you just went over them. Name the pain.
There you go.
Shift the narrative. Embrace adversity. Make meaning. Endure together. And it's just amazing. And the way you break it down, I mean, even when you're talking about name the pain, you say the weight of shame. Shame is a big weight that the church oftentimes and religious people put on us. And the enemy always puts it on us, but we tend to put it on ourselves. We find ourselves in agreement with those who are shaming us, in agreement with the shamer himself, Satan. And I mean, and then you really talk about inviting others in, about coming together. You really, when you talk about the narrative, say, preach to yourself, retrain your brain, the truth that sets us free. I mean, you just walk through this. Now, we're going to talk about this in the next program. We're also going to do something else. We're going to give you a chance to just like you did, basically, you hit the first one a little bit more then. But I want you just to kind of hit the ones real hard in the next show that we do. And we're actually going to start that show showing how when you were here with us, I got under conviction while you were sharing. And I asked you to pray for me, and we're going to show that in the next program, so you don't want to miss it. And I really want you to get this book. I mean, it is... Rebecca, God, and I know I'm watching you smile, I can tell you are living amazed. I wrote a book called Living Amazed. I actually say I have lived the book of Acts for 60 years. And I really have. We've been married 60 years, and I've been in ministry 60 years. So that's
wow.
Amazing grace right there. And I
yes,
live in
is.
That amazing grace. Well, your book is just it's something everybody needs, and I pray you'll get it. Rebecca, we're doing something that I know you and Gabe love. I know your church family loves it. The people in your church who watch us and pray for us love it. And that is, we give water for life to people all over the world. And we give them water for life because of the water of life. And we show them the love of God in demonstration. Even before they hear it in the Word, they see it. They see it demonstrated. We're doers of the Word. We're not just hearers of the Word or sharers of the Word. We demonstrate it. And I want you to look at this right now. And I know, Rebecca, you're going to be praying. And we're looking forward to talking to in a whole another program where people are going to see how God used you to touch me. And I just believe He's going to touch people and heal people's hearts, all the holes in their heart, which is what we all need. We've all got gaping holes in our heart that only God can heal. So don't miss the next program. But I want you to go right now. I want you to go overseas. And I want you to see reality the way people have it. And the greatest killer in the world is contaminated water, disease-ridden water. The greatest shortage in the world is for clean water. Clean water. And there's such a simple cure. It's the love of God. I want you to watch and see if you don't want to become the miracle these people long for and desperately need that you can be. Watch closely.
Life Outreach travels the world to the most remote areas of need, where water is scarce and clean water even more so. God's Word says faith without works is dead, so love is put to action in a tangible way, and you are part of that. Every meter drilled down, every rise and fall of a hand pump. But as we spend time with those in need, listening to their stories, what often surfaces is pain so deep and hope so absent, no water well can lift their hearts or heads.
hơi hâm coi yu stea đằng miền ấy chia ba thì không ta sập hơi rồi ngay.
Fortunately, we come with the one who can lift hearts and heads.
But I recognize that you died for my sins.
When you give the thirsty a drink, you give it unto Jesus. But we are compelled to introduce them to him as well. And miraculously, hearts broken from children lost begin mending. Tears of pain turn to joy as they taste of eternal water. And again, you are part of that. You send us, you send Jesus in us. And it is with great joy we go, for while clean water transforms families and villages, the hope of their future brings the greatest fulfillment. Little compares to the joy and reward of their eternal future secured. At times, we have posed the question, what would you do if this was your family in need? Well, many of these are family, now and forever. Thank you for partnering with us. May it never end.
Wow, you just don't understand. 60 years. Betty, you watched. I left you for 35 years, left my family to go minister to your family and your children all over America and other parts of the world. But then we went more than 20 years to the mission fields of the world where we traveled really into the very pits of hell and death and suffering and into the wars. And I was standing there when they tore the Berlin Wall down. We were at Chernobyl right after it happened, trying to save lives. And I'm looking at these precious children. They are our kids. I mean, I look at them and I can't tell what color or race they are, what nation they're in. They're just precious people that God loves. And Betty, they just need water. And we've got the perfect cure for them. And our viewers have helped us drill nearly 8,000 water wells. And we're asking you to help us drill 350 more right now. And you could possibly drill a well. You could give $48 and give 10 people some water the rest of their life. Where would you better put $48? Think about this. For 30 people, $144. 30 people the rest of their life. And then this is the amazing thing, Betty. A well is $4,800. And you give a well, you give 1,000 people or more water the rest of their life. I don't think there's a person watching that can't do something to help.
I believe that too. And I want to thank you so much. If you have been on this journey with us, drilling the wells and offering fresh water to these children, we continue to do that and we continue to need your help very, very much. And you can see the results. These children are being able to grow up. And where otherwise without water, you can't live without water. So thank you so much. And let's just join together again and let's drill the wells and let's give these children fresh, clean water.
You can't imagine how easy it is to get them to come and hear about the love of God that sent that water to them. That's how the missionaries are able to win thousands and, yes, even millions. I mean, do you realize we've won over 25 million people to Jesus Christ in the outreaches that we have supported around the world? Think about that. And to think that we have saved the lives of 18 million children in our feeding programs and millions more in the fresh water. You can't even count the numbers there. It's unbelievable what love does. Would you right now get your bank card and use it like a check? If you make a check, make it to Life. Go get a check. But please go online or dial that number and make the gift God puts on your heart. If we've got some beautiful gifts to send you to say thank you. The greatest gift we give you every day is coming into your home to share the life and love of God, just like you've heard today. And if you'd like to have Rebecca Lyons' book, Resilient Life, we'll be glad to send it to you. Just to say thank you, along with the other gifts, please help us give water for life. 350 wells. Could you drill one or part of one? Would you do your part in God's heart? Thank you so much for doing it.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Can you even imagine the joy that's going to come when people realize we're getting a well? And then when they get that well, to see the joy that gathers around it and the life? Thank you for that. I will gladly send you Rebecca Lyons' book, Building a Resilient Life. The ministry that she and her husband have and that God has developed in her is just, I promise you, she never dreamed she'd be writing books that are so effective. And Rebecca, we just thank you for being with us. Next time now, I want you to come here. I want you to be in this living room. But in the next show, we're still going to talk to you again from your home. And we want to thank you. And thank all of you. Thank you for being friends of life, because you really do make life possible for so many people. Not only life now to live, but eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what you're helping share. Thank you for doing it.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today.
And finally, I just said to my husband one day, I said, I'm broken and I'm afraid I will never change.
Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.